I'm Frank Vaughn. It's April 10th, 2025, and it's an interesting thing how you can have a small child with a cold that will keep you awake all night, two adults awake all night, while the smallest child sleeps soundly as though nothing is happening. And while this is going on, you realize you're going to miss it when they're all grown up and gone. So you embrace the experience of pulling an all-nighter with your kid. It's actually a pretty good time, but it still leaves you frauds at the end of it all. We're going to be talking about the 51st state, the future of the constitutional monarchy, and Western separatism in today's video. But I want to begin with just an anecdote. The St. John Baptiste Society was commissioned to set a poem called O Canada, which was written by an Adolphe Ruthier, to music, which was to become our national anthem. And a literal translation of that poem, which was originally written in French, would read like this. O Canada, land of our ancestors, your brow is wreathed with glorious garlands, for your arm knows how to carry the sword, it knows how to carry the cross. Your history is an epic of the most brilliant exploits, and your courage, blended with faith, will protect our homes and rights, will protect our homes and rights. Now, of course, they had to change it and massacre what was a beautiful poem. And maybe it's appropriate because we don't have private property rights, which undermines our homes. And we don't really have any genuine God-given rights. The government can suspend them at will. And even when they're wrong to do so, nothing happens to them. A couple of quotes to begin today's edition. First, I want to quote Justin Trudeau before he became prime minister. All the way back in 2010, he gave a French language interview where he said, Canada isn't doing well right now because it's Albertans who control our community and socio-democratic agenda. It doesn't work. I'm a liberal, so of course I think Canada is better served when there are more Quebecers in charge than Albertans. Make no mistake about the priorities that emanate from the Liberal Party. They value Quebec far more than the rest of this country. Western Canada was set up as a resource colony to funnel money east. It doesn't work. It's never worked. And it's really time we reconsider the arrangement. The next quote is Mark Carney, the man who would head the very government that has delivered us into this crisis, who would claim to be the outsider coming to save us while using some of the very same characters that have brought us to this point. It's time to make Canada the world's leading energy superpower, to reduce our reliance on other countries, fight for Canadian jobs, and defend our economic sovereignty. These are all lies. He is a net zero architect. He's the very architect of bills like C-69, which ban new pipelines here in Canada, ban tanker traffic on the West Coast. He loves this stuff. He's given many a public speech and done interviews where those are his core values. He is now changing his clothes to try and fool you into voting for him. And the East might be fooled just enough because they believe that Polyev and Trump are somehow in bed together, as Polyev struggles to differentiate himself, as he tries to deliver the message that Canada and the United States are different and he's Canada first. This propaganda from a known liar, this is one of the issues that you run into in life. It's that lies are often far more effective than the truth. It's a challenge we all face in daily life, and it scales all the way up to the highest halls of power. Mark Carney's a chameleon. Mark Carney's objective is largely personal enrichment for his friends in the oligarchical class. I do not understand how the left, in particular the NDP, even Jagmeet Singh, with all of his flaws, I don't understand how the NDP could come together under Carney rather than just stay home. How can you support this man? He represents the very richest elements of society, the most exploitative elements of society, big money that just robs you left, right, and center, using government, using power, using their clout to manipulate the world to their benefit. This is what you're uniting behind now. To understand this, you need to understand history, and that's one of the biggest challenges we face. People don't like history. They don't like detail. Carney likes carbon taxes on industries, because it benefits the funds that he worked for and the investments that he probably still holds. He wants to spend billions of taxpayer dollars building all these modular homes because it will directly benefit his company. He won't say anything about the Communist Party because it benefits him. The reason the CCP is promoting his campaign is because he is their man. He's the Davos man. He's the European man. Do you think Carney is going to close tax loopholes? Do you think he's going to investigate tax havens when all of his friends take advantage of those things? I mentioned Europe, and I keep driving this point home because he wants to integrate us with Europe. He wants to take us closer to the European Union. You need to understand the fundamental transformation that has been ongoing since the EU was launched, becoming less democratic, less representative, and more technocratic every single day. This article, Germany's coalition government wants to strengthen democracy by abolishing it, a pretty clear headline. One of the most shocking ideas in the leaked coalition papers, because right now, the two parties that suffered the most or the largest Do you honestly think that Mark Carney is going to close tax loopholes and investigate tax havens when all of his friends benefit from those things? He says one thing, he will do another. There has been... Do you honestly think that Mark Carney is going to investigate tax havens and close loopholes? Do you think he's going to turn around and screw his friends who's he's... Do you think Mark Carney is actually going to represent the little people, the middle class? Do you think he's going to represent your interests when he has spent an entire career helping his oligarchical friends avoid taxation, manage their investments, work to their advantage against you, the public? That is his career record. People criticize Pierre because he's a public servant. He's been in Parliament his entire career. Looks a lot better than an oligarchical collectivist who has taken advantage of the systems of governance in the world to rig the game for the benefit of his buddies. And I keep bringing up Europe, and there's a reason I keep bringing up Europe, because I need people to understand since the European project began, it has moved away from representation and more into technocracy, and that's a process that's continuing. We've talked about France, we've talked about Romania, we've talked about the potential sanctioning of Orban in Hungary because he will not go along. And we talked about Germany a little bit. Germany's coalition government, this is the headline, wants to strengthen democracy by abolishing it. And this is in response to leaked papers. The two parties that lost the greatest amount of vote share in the German elections, mostly to the AfD, are forming a coalition government, and they're discussing how it is they're going to manage that government. They are, one of the most shocking ideas in the leaked coalition papers is the plan to ditch Germany's Freedom of Information Act, similar to the Freedom of Information Act in the U.S. as well. Canada has a similar act, which lets citizens request government records, like emails or reports, to hold officials accountable. It's been a tool for exposing scandals like a botched highway toll project, health agency cover-ups during COVID, and shady financial deals tied to tax evasion. German media, like the public broadcaster ZDF, has called the law a game changer for transparency. They want to get rid of it. And so in the process of getting rid of it, their justification is that it is leading to incitement, that the very facts that the public is able to acquire from the government, the records that they keep, leads to a propagation of fake news. And so under the guise of fake news, under the guise of incitement, they also want to ban politicians under that definition. So if a politician is caught inciting, even if it's based on government data, this coalition government wants to ban them. This is a big target on the AfD's forehead. They will be able to pick and choose who gets to run, or they'll just ban the AfD outright, the second largest party in Germany. If you've noticed in my videos, there's a trend. The Europeans are stomping out conservative politicians all over Europe. They don't want competition. They want their technocracy, and they want to be able to control the message. This is what Mark Carney wants to align Canada with in opposition to the United States. Now, I can rant and rave, I can wave papers around, and I can scream at the top of my lungs about the evils of Mark Carney. None of them are exaggerated. I've called the man the Grim Reaper since before he even announced his intention to run for the Liberal Party. It was clear we were heading into a coronation. He will sell this nation out from under us faster and to the detriment of every single citizen and to the benefit of his oligarchical collectivist friends. Now, I made a series of tweets last night, and I want to talk about each. The first tweet I said, the 51st state idea seems effectively dead as things have unfolded. Who do you want leading Canada? An oligarchical collectivist central banker at the head of the same government that's been in office for the last 10 years and has led us to this, or the CPC, whom every bad actor wants defeated? And it's true. All the opposition to the CPC is a big red flag. It should get anybody, everybody's attention. Now, I clarified, Canada 51, Alberta separation, Saskaberta 51, the Republic of Western Canada, and indeed the status quo, constitutional monarchist Canada, they're all separate ideas. From Trump's perspective, and indeed Canada's, the East and West require individuated attention. Trump has a full plate. I don't know if you've noticed. He has opposition from within his government. He has opposition from within the judiciary. He faces down his major geopolitical adversary, which is China and Chinese infiltration of North America, particularly Canada. He is surrounded by challenges. The tariffs and the drama going back and forth. I said yesterday that Trump blinked. And in a way, he did blink. Because if the entire world comes together, if enough of the world comes together and decides to engage suffering, to take on the suffering, to fight the trade war, if they can successfully label Trump as at fault for that, even though the word reciprocal just, it seems lost on people, that all the Americans are doing is setting matching tariffs. That was all that was proposed. And of course, the nations that are against that went apoplectic because many of their industries depend on those tariffs to survive. Well, the Americans have been gutted. You can watch a number of YouTube channels where people just go touring around all of the gutted towns from coast to coast in the United States. Why are they gutted? Why has auto manufacturing disappeared from Detroit? Just as one for instance, and there's thousands of for instances. It's because that business has gone somewhere else. Trump wants to bring it home. It's gone somewhere else. And those countries who have tariffs on the United States protect their industries via those tariffs. Trump has made a decision to do the same thing. He's not a bad guy, but they're painting him successfully as a bad guy to their own domestic population. The same process is happening here in Canada. And you can argue he makes it easy with his braggadocious nature and the way he talks and the style of oration that he engages in. But these are all superficial considerations. I'm more of a detail guy. I like getting underneath the surface and figuring out what is. However, the point is, he had to back off. He's got to pick his fights, which is why the 90-day pause. Things can come back. Things can get resurrected. But I digress. I said the 51st state idea is dead. And it effectively is. Like I said, Trump has a full plate. Do you think he wants 8 or 9 million Quebecois, 15 million Ontarians, who are 70% aligned against him? And I know there's millions of people in both those places who understand things in a much better way, who can see through it. But the propaganda is thick and it's heavy. And I also said in yesterday's video, I was talking about boomers. Majoritively, they vote for the Liberal Party. Not everybody. There's still going to be millions of you out there that don't. So when I speak in these ways, understand that I understand within these groups, within these geographies, within these demographics, that there are those who aren't participating in the majority behavior, but I have to be able to talk about the majority behavior because that's what drives things forward. Canada as a whole will not become a 51st state. I can't see it. Now, whether Carney gets elected or whether it's Poilievre, we still face the same fundamental question here in Western Canada. The government of this nation is designed to our disadvantage, period. And it has been for 150 years. It's time for the divorce. We have to get on with it now. Some, as I've said before, argue that Carney getting elected would hasten that divorce. Maybe it would, but maybe it wouldn't. Carney will have a tremendous amount of power. He will have an allied Senate. He will have an allied judiciary. And he will have a majority government. He'll be able to cut deals. If he cuts deals with the Americans, because this is something else, people think for whatever stupid reason, and it is stupid, that Carney's going to save Canada. No, no, no. He's going to end it. He's going to carve it up and sell it off. That's what he's here to do, people. The words that he says are revealed for the lie that they are by where he comes from and his publicly espoused values when he was fully representing himself, his friends, and the companies whose benefit he serves. Which brings me to the last tweet I composed last night and released this morning. If Carney wins, he will sell Canada out from under our feet at a pace that may even shock the sleeping masses awake. His own base will marvel at the golem they've unleashed. He campaigns under the banner of sovereignty, yet the opposite he will deliver for citizen and nation. Because that is who he is. That has been his defining function in life. He serves the oligarchs. He serves the billionaire class. He serves the takers to the disadvantage of the Main Street makers. No matter what happens in this election, Western Canada needs to have a real hard thought about the future. Eastern Canada doesn't fit with the United States. It would create more headaches than it's worth, which is why I say the 51st state idea, 51, Canada 51, it's effectively dead. The Trump administration has said they will negotiate a new trade deal with the next prime minister, whether it's Carney or Poilievre. Once Trudeau was gone and Carney was installed, Trump stopped calling him governor. He started referring to him as prime minister again. And Carney publicly signaled that they had a good conversation and that Trump respected the sovereignty of Canada. Read the tea leaves. Why would Trump want such a huge problem? Now, there's this other part of the country, Western Canada. It's a very different story. It's a much better fit. Whether it is as a state or whether it's as an independent republic engaging in strong business ties, maybe defense arrangements, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know the entire future. What I do know is that whether Carney wins or Poilievre wins, Western Canada must have far more assertive leadership, or we're going to get trodden underfoot in a way we will never recover from. Carney's not going to unleash an energy superpower. These words, which are being hypocritically copied and repeated by these liberal MPs who are running for re-election, the ones that said they weren't going to run, they're coming back. The whole crew that has led this country to this point is running for re-election. And a lot of them are going to get re-elected. And they have absolutely reversed their messaging. It's like night and day. And there's a whole part of the public that just goes along with it, as though the actual ground under your feet doesn't matter. That the very things that they were so proud of, the carbon tax, the anti-pipeline agenda, didn't exist, that they haven't led us here. And they claim they're going to build our energy independent future? My guess is they've just dropped the word green out of their pronouncements. That's all they've done. It's a bait and switch. They're going to try and win the election on sovereignty, but what they will deliver is a crippling blow to this nation. Western Canada has a choice. We don't have to participate in this decline. We can leave. We should leave. Now, I debated putting this section in, but this is a personal challenge, and maybe it's the result of being up all night that I'm including this. It's more to the couple thousand of you that I would call the hardcore base of FrankVaughn.ca, whatever it is we're doing here. The project, as it is, or my political ramblings, meanderings, involvement, running in elections, all the different things that I've done over all the years, has always been a secondary thing. As much as it took an incredible amount of time to do at those times, I also had a very meat and potatoes business that I was running, my farm, our farm, which involved calluses and blood and sweat, pinching pennies and working really hard. And I did that for a lot of years. But now I'm here, and I almost feel like I'm starting a new life. And I'm a very thoughtful man, if you haven't been able to tell. And I'm thinking about the next 20 years, because I'm in the dying days of 44. I'm going to be 45 soon. For whatever reason, I'm picking 65 out of the air. I intend to probably work until I'm back in the ground, but for whatever reason, I just think about 65. There's 20 years ahead. You know, there's a whole lot of people, including my wife, who think commentary and political advocacy is what I should do with that time. And I think they have a point. Now, figuring out what that looks like and actually having a level of self-respect while you do it is a different thing. I was raised blue-collar, learning that at the end of the day, if you haven't sweat, and you haven't bled, it wasn't a good day. This work involves a lot of reading, involves a lot of mental work. I'm still quite tired at the end of the day. Because even though I produce 20-minute videos or hour-long videos, I am learning at a rapid pace, because if this is what I'm going to do, the future is going to require ready recall of a lot of disparate information, far more than even I've been able to engage in so far. So a lot of this is preparation. I don't think I've ever taken it as seriously as I'm taking it now. I've taken it very seriously, but this is a different level. And I suppose I would ask you to bear with me while I figure out how to have a high degree of self-respect for white-collar, thoughtful work rather than blood and sweat. Because if I go back to blood and sweat, I'm not going to be here very much. I've been making videos again since September 17th. I've been taking it much more seriously since, I would say, January 20th. And we've seen the results together. We've watched the channel grow. We've watched the following grow. We've watched the engagement grow. And there seems to be some value there. And so if it goes from being a day-to-day plan to a 20-year plan, where exactly is it that I'm trying to drive things? What exactly is it that I'm bringing to the table? And how do I bring it much more effectively? All this is to say, bear with me in my shortcomings while I personally develop and embrace this new chapter of my life. You know, it gets harder to do new things as you get older. Your instinct is to go running back to the thing that you're familiar with. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about just retreating back into farming and trying to make it here doing that. But if I'm honest, the safety and familiarity of retreating back to that would be ignoring a calling and would be ignoring the advice of some of the best people in my life, as well as many of you. So bear with me while I figure it out. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.